I'm joined again by Ole Demogord of lightonconspiracies.com. And Ole has been researching for 30 years into various different assassinations and different world-changing events. And the templates that have been used and the similarities have come together to impact on our global life. So, Ole, thank you for joining me again this week.
It's a great pleasure, Alan. Thank you so much.
Now, I wanted to speak to you specifically about something closer to home rather than 9/11 or the JFK assassinations. I wanted to talk to you about the history of Europe, because I know history and research is something that you've done a heck of a lot of work on. So give us an idea of your understanding of the history of the EU and how it's developed over the years.
I think you're into a very, very important area, because it's only by studying history that we can see what's going on, understand where it comes from, who are involved in creating these different things, and also avoid it for the future, because there's so much mayhem in the world that seems like it's not connected. But once you start going to the real roots of the whole thing, you will start seeing how many of these, like you mentioned, assassinations, so-called terror acts, civil wars, so-called civil wars, religious wars, once again, so-called religious wars, and so much mayhem that is being controlled and carried out by the same, in my opinion, after 30 years of digging deep into this, by a small elite group, or they call themselves the elite. I would call them something else that had nothing to do with elite. I call them the lightless many times. Yes. A small group of people totally controlled by desires, greed, and where they use their tools of total destruction, war, terror, how to inflict terror on nations and populations and so on, for us to ask and beg for more and more control in the form of militarized police, army, everything for our protection, that what we believe is our protection, but what is actually their agenda. And their agenda is to push us into this dark, very controlled, super controlled future where they intend, I hope I won't scare people, I'm not here to spread fear, but one of their intention is to depopulate quite a big part of the population through vaccines, chemtrails, disasters, criminality, all of these type of things. But also to, if they can't get us through that, then through financial means, through one of their tools is the World Bank, another one is the International Monetary Fund. So if they can't hit a country by military invasion, they can hit them through the World Bank and in International Monetary Fund. That's one of some of the tools that they knock out the countries one by one by one to gain more and more control. And one of the tools is what they're aiming for is centralized power, global centralized power. And one of the methods they're using is the European Union. That is their creation totally. And that goes very much hand in hand with NAFTA, which is the North American-South American coalition, and where they try the Asian coalition as well, yeah, where they try to push the world into three different parts that then will be united. They're doing it all for our sake, as they say. It's for opening up for trade, for making it better for us, you know, to avoid conflicts and so on. But if you look at it, what they do instead, it's just creating more and more mayhem, more and more crimes, more and more all of the things that we do not want, normal people don't want. That is what they're doing. So they're trying to, with different tactics, by scaring us into, if you don't join the European Union, you will go down, your country's economical situation will go down, you will go under. That's what they told every single country, I think. that if you stay outside of the union, you will be destroyed. Your finances will be destroyed.
Yeah.
But absolutely nothing has happened to the countries that have stayed out. Instead, the people who have joined, their financial situation has gone down the drains.
Yeah, and so we just need to look at the non-euro countries who've stayed out of the euro, and the whole financial mess that's brought about. We just need to look at how their economies are being attacked, but have also done, I suppose, in theory, considerably better than those euro countries, apart, of course, from Germany, who've had the capital wealth to keep their economy boosted, unlike Greece.
The thing is, I think we have to look at upon this way above the national borders. Mm. If you look at it countrywide and you say, well, Germany has a good time, England has problems, Ireland has problems, it's the wrong way to look at it, because we're looking at a global elite with handpicked people from each and every country.
Yes.
That are trying to control us. I mean, you only through groups like the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Committee of 300, these type of groups, I would very much recommend people to start studying if they are not aware of them already, because they consist of people you see on TV every single day, nice suits, looking really great, with sworn loyalty to their people, you know, the people they represent, but with a hidden loyalty to a totally different group, a very dark and sinister group, not all of them being aware of it, that they're actually carrying out their hidden agenda. But these are the people we have to focus on, because they are the ones that are pushing this world into a small, they're trying to push us into like a, I would call what they call the New World Order, I would call it the Fourth Reich. It's exactly the same mentality that was behind Hitler's Third Reich. Mm-hmm. It is exactly the same families, it's exactly the same financial, economic interest that were behind and sponsored Hitler. Yeah. To come forward. They just changed the agenda, they changed some of the players. Yeah, they fooled us. Sorry.
I've started referring to it as the Fourth Reich. I started that last week, and because it just seems more appropriate than, you know, sort of the New World Order. It is the Fourth Reich.
It is, and you can see if you study Hitler's agenda, how he carried the whole thing out, how he if you look at what's happening in the States now, it's step by step by step identical.
Yes.
You know, homeland security, fatherland seguridad. You have all of these different, the Reichstag fire, you had, that's 9/11. You can see the same thing. And also, this is why I think it's so important to study history, because when you see the people central at the moment behind the scenes, like families like the Bush family, for instance, mm-hmm. one of the main funders of the Hitler war machine was Prescott Bush, which is George Bush, the latest president's grandfather, and his father, George Bush Sr., who is central in so many of the atrocities that has been inflicted on the world. I mean, when you look at him in great detail, he looks like a very nice gentleman. He has a pleasant voice. He speaks nice and so on. Look at what he's doing, his actions. Mm. My God, he makes Hitler look like a schoolboy, I tell you.
Yes.
It is incredible the level of criminality we're talking about here globally. Mm. And it's the people that were behind, that was funding Hitler, because this is the both world wars were funded by the same banker elite. Once again, wrong word to use, elite banker, banker gangsters, I would call them. Mm. Banker elite gangsters, funding both sides to create this mayhem globally. And the main agenda, apart from making absolute billions of these war and destroying the sovereignty of independent countries, because that's what they're trying to do, to knock out individual countries so that they can unite them for our security, once again, for our pleasure, to unite the world. That's not what they're doing, not for us. They're trying to create a centralized, a global one state world, a fascist state with a one world army, with a one world digital currency, with a population that is chipped and totally controlled, depopulated, and with like an elite race, almost like the Führer and the Aryan race, meaning the global elite, and the rest of us as slaves, and the ones that they cannot use, they will just get rid of.
That's right.
So this is when you see, when study what's happening in the States now, and you will see they're using exactly the same tactics. They're set up like there's 800 active FEMA camps in, fully staffed in the States now. Yes. Look into these FEMA camps and you will see, I am not exaggerating, they are modern day high technological super high tech concentration camps. That's what they are.
That's right. Now, we have the same thing here, but it's given a slightly different name. It's called MAPPA, MAPPA, and I'm just going to pull up the information here. It's the Management Service, Management and Public Protection Group. And it's the probation service, it's the police, it's prisons, and this is a document that was produced in 2012, and this is from the Ministry of Justice. Now, that to me is so Orwellian, the Ministry of Justice. They go through how the different authorities will come together, how they will cooperate, how they will coordinate strategic management. There'll be lay advisors from different walks of life, different parts of the community. Let's have a look. All the different levels of management, risk assessments, risk management, multi-agency public protection meetings, custody, all the recall plans. It's all here, out in the open. You just go to justice.gov.uk and you can find the plan there, MAPPA Guidance 2012. I'm also thinking about the National Service Bill, which is currently going through Parliament, which will force, on pain of becoming a criminal and getting a criminal conviction, which will force everybody between the ages of 18 and 25 to initially spend one full year doing national service, which is going to be work within the NHS, work with the police, and also work with the military. And they will get national minimum wage, and they will do that for a year. And they're going to be getting lots of guidance and training on law, law especially with effect to teenagers and crimes that teenagers mostly carry out. And then, of course, Obama has got his youth organization and has them all in their nice flash jackets shouting, "Yes, we can," and drilling together. And all this is something that's still in place, that's coming into place here in the UK with all these little different bits. Now, when I've spoken to people about the National Service Bill or MAPPA, they have absolutely no idea that these things are there and that these things are in place. And it's very, very concerning that these things are happening and we, the public, the ordinary people, just don't know about it.
Listen how he pushed forward the Hitlerjugend, mm-hmm. how he put forward how the SS troop were the elite troops for the protection of the homeland, you know, how they were doing a great thing for freedom and democracy. Mm-hmm. Then look what happened and how history is looking upon them today.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you need to look at this on a global scale. There's no difference between the States and England. There's the thing is that Obama is not he's not aiming at the States. He's the front face of a war machine of a magnitude, a machine of death and destruction. Globally, and the people behind the scenes. You have to look at like members of the Bilderberg Group, these secret societies that are not so secret anymore because they can't keep it secret anymore. But
well, it's thanks to campaigners like yourself and researchers who've brought those out into the open.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you very much. I tell you, my brother he's been on several of these Bilderberg meetings when they come in these black limousines, totally undercover, you know, in black helicopters, they're flown in and everything. And one of the things he did, I absolutely love it. There was he was in Switzerland. They had one of these top secret meetings there, and there were some photographers outside, because like you say, people like myself, brave people everywhere, has come together trying to reveal who are attending these meetings. Totally illegal meeting. I mean, we were talking foreign minister, prime ministers, people that are not allowed to deal with foreign leaders. That's without right. the population knowing. That's called treason.
Yes,
it's called treason.
When Bilderberg was at Watford, we had serving cabinet ministers attending. No,
they were all there, you know. Yeah. And Tony Blair, big time player in these kind of games. Gordon Brown, now we're talking England. Margaret Thatcher was one of them, and so on. But one of the things that my brother did was that there was this pedestrian crossing, you know. So when these black limos came, they didn't stop, you know. They had all, and so they placed photographers on both sides, and he kept crossing. So they had to stop. And when they stopped, the photographers took photos. You know, I love it. That's a beautiful way of doing it.
Absolutely
the power of a pedestrian crossing.
Yeah.
No, but it is through normal people, because it's us, the normal people, that have to wake up to what's going on. This whole thing has only been allowed to go on for such a long time because we've been so asleep and duped into believing an absolute lie.
Yeah.
So it's only
apathy has been instilled in the public about politics that they're just like, oh, it's got nothing to do with me. I can't influence anything.
It's done by design, you know. This beautiful world we live in, look at nature. It is super beautifully designed for absolute balance, absolute unity between everything. Everything is interacting in a super wonderful way. And then we have this bully that a small group of people, I mean, it's ridiculous that we're letting them control us when you look at it. They're like a couple of thousand, and we're 7 billion people. And we're doing as they say, because they say, we are powerful. Well, I'm sorry, you're not really. And most of them are old guys as well. So it's an absolute joke that we're in this situation.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we are doing it to ourselves. We are controlling ourselves. And anyone who joins and being duped into the military, to the police force, to SWAT teams, to people that are into surveillance things, need to wake up, because you are the ones who are doing it to the rest of us. And we are allowing you. Once again, please study history. Look at Hitlerjugend. Yes, we can. No, Heil Hitler was the one they did that time. They just changed whatever. This Hitlerjugend, how they turned them into becoming informers on their own family members. So the family members were arrested and tortured and killed. And it's just down the road. I tell you, it's not long far away.
Yeah.
And with these MAPA, they're called different in the different NATO countries. They all have them. And they say, oh, it's because if there's a disaster, we have to organize. Great if there is a disaster. It's great that you have an organized thing that can help the population. But these things are aimed at a totally different level. They're aimed at when there's uprising, when there's unrest in the population, to take them out, to control them. And the groups that are in these youth organizations or the military, they're suddenly under order. And if they don't follow order, they will be executed or they will have to face trial or whatever. So the thing is to become aware of it and step out. Wake up, smell the coffee, see the agenda, the hidden agenda, not what you're being told. Because you're being told beautiful stuff like, it's the freedom thing, or it's the democracy, or it's the Stardust Upright, you know, whatever. They will give as soon as you see a fancy name, you can bet that there's a hidden thing underneath it once you start tracking down who is behind it.
Mm. Now, I just wanted to quote from the introduction of the book, The Nazi Roots of the Brussels EU from Relay of Life, because you were talking about them, they, cartels and
the famous they.
Yeah, the famous they. And one of the explanations that's given in this book sort of starts to point people in the right direction, because they refer to going back to sort of World War II and after as well, the chemical, oil and drug cartels.
IG Farben. Major.
And it was composed of Bayer, BASF, Hoist, and some other chemical companies as well. And they say that the summary of the indictment from Nuremberg trials proves that without IG Farben, World War II could not have taken place. Now, these companies, these cartels, these organisations, whilst they might have different faces, different names at the top of them, they're still working to the same agenda, which outwardly is profit-based, but we are also seeing them taking more and more control of social-based organisations as well, which, of course, then leads to the controlling systems.
If you go, IG Farben or IG Farben is super central when it comes to the Second World War. You can almost put an sort of IG Farben equals Hitler equals the war machine.
Yeah.
So the sponsors behind the owners behind this chemical giant that was also the ones that built the concentration camps and so on, that's where you will start to see what's going on. And like I said, I don't know if I mentioned it, but like Prescott Bush, George Bush Sr.'s father, was one of the main funders of the Hitler war machine. I'm not saying that he was the one paying Hitler. He was the one funneling the funds from lots of different from this global elite group, pumping money into this war machine. And one of the things, what they did, there were two lawyer firm where there were two brothers, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles. Mm-hmm. They were directly in contact with Hitler. They were the ones setting up pumping loans into the Hitler war machine, and also into every single country where it was on a basis of you borrow now when you need it, get your weapons, we lend you money, and then you can pay afterwards. But the thing was that they enslaved all of these countries into heavy, heavy debt that they're still into to this very day. So yeah. So you got George Bush grandfather or George Bush father, Prescott Bush. You got Alan and John Foster Dulles. Now, these two brothers later, after the Second World War, because it was like depending on who had won the war, they controlled more or less this global elite who was going to win it. Yeah. But they decided, okay, we're going to go for the States and the Western, you know, England and these are going to be the winners. And the patsy, the boogeyman, the bad guy that we're going to paint really black in the book of history so that people won't understand what's going on, Hitler. Yeah. Okay, so what they did was, once that went down, they had a strategy identical for if Hitler had won, as had been carried out ever since the Second World War, leading us into where we are now. The whole strategy was set there for the Hitler regime as well. Mm-hmm. It had gone faster, though, because had he won, the whole mentality behind this thing would have been in place right away.
Well, I think about the film Fatherland. That was a fictional representation of what happened in Europe and the world after World War II when Hitler had won. And what you've just said is clearly outlined perfectly in that film and that book, Fatherland.
I have not seen it, but that's the agenda that's come up. Mm. But if I can go back to John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, yes, very, very super central people. They were part of, Alan Dulles was part together with Bill Colby, who later became the director of the CIA, to build up the whole stay behind a secret, super secret ghost army network in all NATO countries that is still active to this very day, if you ask me, even though they say, no, it's not. Anyway, these two, after the Second World War, they went from Germany, they went back to the States, where Alan Dulles was part of starting up what is called the OSS, which was the I don't know the English word, but the before it was later turned into the CIA,
yes,
where he became the director of the CIA, deeply involved in creating what was called Operation 40, a super secret team of assassins that was used for decades to take out the different global leaders and whoever they had problems with. We're talking including JFK, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy. They were part of killing the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme and many, many. They didn't work under the name Operation 40. It multiplied into different, I mean, every single operation, they changed the name of them, but it's the same key players that yes. was, there's still, some of them are still active to this very day. Anyway, but these two people, also what is important to see is that when the Hitler war machine lost, the world said, oh, thank God we got rid of them because we had 12 people in Nuremberg that had to take the fall. Many of them had not, I mean, they were low-key generals and stuff that had absolutely no major role in the whole thing. The rest of thousands of hardened SS and Nazi veterans was exported.
That's right, Operation Paperclip.
Operation Paperclip. It was. They were taken out through. Many of them ended up in the United States, where they were part of creating the OSS, CIA. Mm-hmm. They were also a part of creating NASA. They were part of creating the whole banking system, the whole industrial. I mean, they're so integrated. But they also went to South America, where many of them ended up. Still living totally free and openly.
That's right.
But some of them were, they left them in Europe. One of them was Klaus Barbier. I can't remember what he was called, but the monster from Dachau or something like that.
Yeah.
He was an incredibly vicious, violent man. And they used him to educate other people in terror and torture and like that. And he was sent together with people like Stefano Della Chiai, who was a mass murderer, Italian mass murderer, still around. He was part of taking out the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme. And today, he's one of the members of the Committee of 300, next to Bill Gates and many, many other royalties and stuff. It's like unbelievable when you see it.
Wow.
And major part of the whole... The thing is, that after the Second World War, the CIA created this ghost army, Stay Behind.
Hmm.
And the whole idea was that it would... and the reason why they call it Stay Behind, it also goes under the name Gladio.
Yeah.
Where all the NATO countries, to enter NATO, you had to create your part. And it was the whole idea was that if any of the NATO countries would be invaded at that time from the east, then there would be an army in place already. And then sort of like you had small cells of like 8 to 10 people where all of them connected. I mean, we're talking thousands of small groups in every single country with hidden... hidden depots with ammo, guns, food, radio equipment, all of this thing, so that if the country was invaded, the whole resistance movement would be in place. So the only thing you had to do was get the royalties out, the politicians, get them out, and they were supposed to go to London. And then from London, that was where the whole resistance campaign against the invaders could be organized from. Mm-hmm. So great idea. This was created in 1947, I think, just after the Second World War. But then the less threat you had from the East, the less need for this Stay Behind thing. So suddenly they had this massive army of very, very violent, most of them right-wing people, for no apparent reason. So the CIA thought, what should we do with them? Let's start what we call the strategy of tension. So what they started using them for was to inflict terror on the local population in different countries. You see, in Belgium, they went in to supermarkets and just started shooting people right, left and center. They blew up train stations and bomb stations and all kind of terror acts in Italy. Mm-hmm. There were many, many different places where they used that. And the reason they wanted to inflict this strategy of tension on the populations was to scare the shit out of normal people so that they would beg for more protection. They used an old Roman tactic called problem, reaction, solution. I secretly create a problem to get a reaction from the population so that I can come forward with my agenda, the solution. And this you will see again and again and again, this problem, reaction, solution. 9/11, Oklahoma City, all these mass shootings where they're staging events, fake events, to inflict fear in the population, saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then I, who secretly created the problem, was a, well, the only way I can solve this is by, and every single time the solution is more military type police control, mm-hmm. Surveillance cameras. It's every single time you pay with your liberty, with your civil rights, with your everything, you know, to be more and more and more and more controlled and taxed to death, like get all these taxes, they just hit you from left, right and center, tax you to death, control you to death, and through the TV just keep you down by pumping you with all this fear and terror through this black box. And most of it is not even real. You know, they're just trying to scare us into subservience. Is that what you call it? Subservience?
Subservience, or...
Subservient, yeah. down on your knees, you know?
Yeah, and we've seen that recently with the demonization of veterans and those with PTSD. We've seen that recently with the Fort Hood shooting. Once again, the protagonist that we are told was responsible, of course... took his own life.
Just as
is programmed.
Alan, if you want to, I don't know if I've gone into these. I found almost like templates how they do this. Did I go into that earlier on your program?
Yes, I think we've spoken about it before, but we're on new networks now, new listeners, so it might be good just to have a quick refresh of the templates, please.
Okay, no, it's templates that I've found. It's not, yes. I've never found them in paper or anything, you know, I've just seen that this is the way they carry them out. So there's generally two templates they use. So you have a go. You want assassination or you want terror act?
Let's have terror act.
Terror act, that's okay. The one. Okay, so we're back to this old Roman tactic, problem, reaction, solution. I secretly create a problem, I who are in power, to get a reaction from the population so that I can come with a solution. Okay, terror act. These days you have, there's all these mass shootings, and the main place that they take place is in the States. The reason why? That's where the population is armed.
Yeah.
Because what they're trying to inflict on the population is that the weapon is the problem, not who's using them, not that whatever it is. That's also why they say it's not a problem with a single action rifle. That's not, it's automatic weapon. These are the problems. So it doesn't matter if you can kill 17 people with a single action rifle, that doesn't matter. It's the more dangerous they are for the elite, the more resistance you can make. That's what they try to focus on. So they arrange all of these mass shootings. The last 5-6 years, I don't think there's been a real mass shooting even, because they're trying to limit it to as small a group of people as possible. So they've even started using actors in these things. Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, mm-hmm. the Woolwich beheading, these type of things. They're not even real when you look into them. They're not even real. They're just being pumped out through media. And what they're trying to do is to blame it on a single group or patsies, or nowadays, soon it's going to be truth seekers or homeless or you name it, whoever is a problem to their agenda, they will be the patsies. So what they do is, if we take a, instead of a mass shooting, I'll take a bomb. They love bombs as well.
Yes, very dramatic, very good for the television.
That's the thing. You need drama and you need an impact. It needs to be emotional. So what they do, for instance, 9/11, Oklahoma City, 7/7, the Madrid bombing, you name it. There's so many, many of them. I'm just describing the template and you will see that they would be used in many different areas. They could be, instead of bombs, they can also be like a financial bomb or things like that, that would just cut out the economic structure of a country or so on. But let's take a bomb. So let's say that I want the police in, you're in England, yeah? Okay, in England, I want the English police to have drones that can blow up people right, left, and center without any warrant. They can just do it on a suspicion because of the protection for the population. It's always for your sake. These dreaded, awful, whoever they want to blame on the patsy, whatever group they have, but let's say truth seekers now, these awful truth seekers, it's because of them you have all these problems. So they would be the one, the patsy. So that, what they, if that is my agenda, I want drones to be freely flown. I want the English police to be able to carry around bazookas and have tanks in the streets, you name it, that type of thing. If I just did that, if I just pushed that on the English population, I would have riots, I would have demonstrations, I would have, in the end, I would have like underground movements and people throwing rocks. I would have maybe a financial boycott from other countries because, my God, what happened to the English leader, meaning me, who's gone totally mad here. So that's not the way to go. If you study countries in South America where they did the military coup d'etats overnight and came to a point of power very quickly, these people, they every single time, and they're based by, they were all every single time funded by the same global elite we're talking about, funded, equipped, trained, all of these things. They had, they came into power, for instance, in Chile, Argentina, these type of countries. But after that, they had a massive problem with all of these things that I described, like uprising, demonstrations, underground movements, guerrilla groups, all of that. So they had to mass arrest thousands and thousands of people, filling football stadiums with them, filling the jails. They started executing people, in thousands of them, torturing them, trying to find out where the rest were. I mean, it's messy, messy, messy. And that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to secretly create a problem. In this case, a bomb. And it's very important where you place this bomb. It needs to be placed in a public place to get as emotional impact as possible, so that as many people can feel affected by it. It's not good if it's out in the countryside blowing up a barn or something like that with two dead cows and an old farmer. That wouldn't do it. And an old people's home. No, no, no. Children, women and children, that's the key factor to get the emotional impact. So what you do is, or I do, who, let's say I'm the one in power in England now, wanting to carry out my agenda, I secretly place a bomb. It would be placed maybe in a one of these big warehouses. Is that what you call it?
Like, yes.
Warehouse,
yeah.
Or a subway or a train station or something, like a central thing, and often very close to where there's a daycare center, a children's hospital that works perfectly. They love nuns, nurses, these type of things. Young mothers, small children, teenagers, no, they don't work so well. So that's the thing. And at while I'm preparing the bomb, often I have a drill identical to what's going to happen at the exact same time or the day before. The reason for this drill is, for one thing, to make people used to seeing odd persons, often in uniform or or you got like different military type of vehicles that comes in, or things like that. The reason for that is that they will come in and in the drill place out the explosives, being able to turn off electricity, turn off cameras, turn off everything, so that everything is prepared for the real thing. And very often this drill halfway through suddenly goes live, so that not even the people involved in the drill are aware of that they're suddenly part of a live action. So for instance, in 7/7 you had exactly that identical thing that was going on in London, where the drill was on the exact spots where the bombs went off. That was part of the drill. So police officers standing up on the street level being part of the drill heard the bombs go off exactly like in the drill, and saw people coming out, you know, smoke, and they were like, oh my God, it looks so real.
Yeah.
So many of them didn't even offer help, you know. They thought, no, they're actors. My God, they're acting so real. It's incredible. When people were lying there dying. So I have this drill that goes live in the middle of it. At the same time, I prepare Patsy, let's say the True Seekers. So I leak out in media during the weeks upcoming to this. Ooh, these True Seekers, oh my God, they're really into conspiracy theories, and they're becoming a threat, and they're planning to a revenge against the government. You know, things like that.
Yeah,
you leak it out to prepare the subconscious of the population, saying, oh, that's a weird group. So that once the bomb goes off and we start pointing at them, they would say, oh, I knew it. I've heard of this group before. Preparing, okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have documentaries about True Seekers in Panama that blew up, whatever, just to pump up the subconscious,
that's right.
The awareness of this patsy. Because we're talking a total patsy. It could be a single person or it's a group. If it's a single person, every single time, he's a crazy lone guy, a lone nut. The reason for him being crazy is because then you don't need a motive. The reason for him being alone, because if there's more than one person involved, it's a conspiracy by law, and then you have to treat it in a different way, because then there's a preparation for the crime to be committed. Instead of him just being crazy, he was just crazy. He started shooting all over the place, or he was just crazy. You will also find often that these patsies that are being blamed, you will see them, they look totally doped out or colored hair, or they look absolutely crazy. When you look at their family relationships and so on, like quite a few of these mass shootings, the people that have been pointing out, they have been in the same families as people who have been a threat to the global elite, that have been investigating like financial transactions or something like that, so that by the son of one of these investigators that are really digging deep into this super criminal network, when the son goes down as this monster that has taken out all of these people, he's totally discredited and shut down forever. So they sort of, they chop off the tail, you know, you kill the dog, the tail dogs as well.
Yeah.
And so on. Anyway, so you got the bomb in place, you got the patsy, you prepare a lot of evidence so that as soon as the bomb goes off, boom, you just point, saying the patsy, subconscious already ready on the population, saying, oh yes, my God, it's them. They would even take part of the whole chase, and you would pump it up with some flags in the background and the national scene. You know, great Britain, that type of thing.
That's
to
right.
Get the whole national ethos going. Anyway, so that's all set. And then once that is in place, what you also do is that you prepare your own investigation that is totally controlled by moi. I am the one controlling.
Mm-hmm.
So that the key people in the investigation, I only need to control a few of them, are totally devoted and loyal to me. So what happens is, as soon as the bomb goes off, in goes my investigation, kicks out all normal, decent, honest police detectives and investigators. They're kicked to the side. In go my investigation, and their only task is to cover it up. Point, they went that away. And also become aware of people like myself who, if they do not give up, you know, if they keep pushing for the real truth, they will then have a cleanup team activated that would go out and eliminate people like myself. Suicide, accidents, heart attacks, cancer that comes from absolute nowhere, you name it. I mean, these suicides or accidents, it's just like ridiculous the way they do them. It's very sloppy nowadays.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what the, everything is in place, and then the time has come for the bomb to go off. I wait until the people are the most vulnerable emotionally. So it's very often early in the morning, not in the middle of the night when people are asleep. That doesn't work. You have to wait. And also when the media, so that you have got breakfast news, everything prepared. And when people are on the move to and from daycare centers, schools, jobs, everything, so that they could have been afflicted had they been there, so that it will impact as many as possible. So you go like 8:15, 8:20, maybe 8:30, something like that. That's a good time. They just had their coffee, not really awake. There's a bomb, off it goes. And then through the media that you two are big, or I who's in power, to a quite a big extent controlled through key people. We're back to the Bilderberg Group and these other networks, also Freemasonry networks that you're not, you can't really see. It's like a hidden hand behind the scene. Through the media, you will pump out all these horrendous images of blown up children, blown up kids, and they're prepared, you know, like Boston bombing. You had this kid that was supposed to be killed with a painting where it says, "Don't hurt us." You know, I mean, yeah. Come on. It's so cheaply done. It's so bad. They used to have a pride in these conspiracy, good budget preparation. Nowadays, it's just sloppy, you know, like go, 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 another one, another one, another one. Because they're getting freaked out, I think, because so many people are waking up.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm sorry if I'm dragging out, but anyway, the bomb goes off. Both the images are being pumped out. All of that to get the reaction from the population saying, "Oh my God, oh my God." At the same time, the media is pointing, "Truth seekers, truth seekers, truth seekers. Oh my God, we need to do something. We need to stop all of these truth seekers. We need to stop looking into conspiracies and that, because that's bad, that's dangerous. Look what it's taken us to." And then they turn towards me, who they elected to take care of these awful situations. And then I will say, "Well, the only way I can deal with awful people like these truth seekers is by knocking them out with drones. And the only way I can do it, I won't have time to get warrants. I won't have time to do the paperwork. I just need to take them out because they're such a threat to the normal population. So we just need to blow them up wherever we find them. And whoever, all their families, by the way, because they might have been interacting. So blow the whole crap up at the same time. Great. And then in with the tanks, in with the bazookas, wherever it is." Mm-hmm. You go in there, you do it with the national theme. Do. Once again, English flags. "Oh, the Queen." Yeah. And football stadiums. "We are the best." You know, this type of thing. Yep. In, out with the truth seekers. You eliminate that whole group in one go. Buff. Thank you very much. Thank you. Clean up. That's great. We've been, got rid of all of them in one go. And then you leave for the protection, always the protection of the population. You leave the tanks there. You leave. You keep making people used to see these drones flying over and across the, you know, just so people get used to seeing these protected, wonderful drones that can take out any type of terrorist at any time. So we feel so safe. Then you leave that there for like 2-3 weeks. Way after, you also call for martial law if you follow the American pattern. Martial law, martial law, martial law, and you start using MAPA or FEMA or whatever you want to call them to detain people, detain them. So that people get used to the whole idea that it's for our protection, all these military and vehicles, it's for our protection. The Bobby, the old cop, you know, the nice guy without a gun, suddenly he looks like a Robocop. Where did that come from?
That's it.
All for your protection. And then, I must say, after a couple of weeks, I withdraw because now the emergency is over. But I leave about 20% of them there. I leave them there because now people are used to them. So you got all this surveillance, lots of more cameras, satellites, whatever. You know, homeless people, no, I'm sorry, we can't help them. The healthcare system, the elderly, no, I'm sorry, let them die. We can't afford helping them. New cameras, it's only 2.4 billion, go for it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but what about the anti-super stinger tranquil satellite, the disc super, whatever, 4.8 billion, not a problem. Get four of them. Yeah, but what about all these old people that are dying? No daycare center, hospitals, whatever. No, sorry. I'm very sorry. We're doing our best here, but there's no money for it.
Exactly.
Look at it. It's happening in front of your eyes. And then, if I can just finish my long row of words here, then if normal people start saying, but I mean, it doesn't make sense that this group of truth seekers who were so peaceful had blown up all of this. They were talking, you know, like they had Martin Luther King and Gandhi as their big idol. They were talking about nonviolence, and then they blow up 400 people. It doesn't make sense. And what all of this evidence, so-called evidence, doesn't make any sense at all. If people keep pushing and pushing and pushing, saying you have to find out what really happened, and they start challenging the official investigation, after a while, if they do not back down, what would be I, who are in power, I will elect a commission, and it will be called something fancy like the freedom, no, let's see, the open-minded freedom searching committee for the defense of population. Something fancy that will sound like, oh my God, it's so official.
Yeah.
And once again, I put key people that I control, many of them Freemasons, many of them have been on similar commissions before, but then maybe the chief of the manager or whatever you call it, of this committee, maybe he was the secretary in the old one, now he's the chairman or whatever. They just swap positions, so it gives you an illusion of democracy, an illusion of freedom, an illusion that they're really doing it. And then they will spend about a year looking into this, but they don't look into the crime itself. They don't look into the incident or the accident or the terror act or whatever it was. They look into the investigation. How was the investigation carried out? And then they spend about a year producing thousands of so boring documents saying absolutely nothing. And they pump out articles in the newspapers, making the population so fed up with the whole thing after a year. Sometimes they have scandals within the committee so that they have to replace a member. And just because there's a new member, oh, we've been delayed 3 months, so they need another 3 months.
Yeah.
Come on, what is that? And then after a year, they say, present this report, and the report, I guarantee you will say, well, the investigation, they really did a good job. They made some major mistakes, but we pointed them out, and we've done a great job, and that's about it. And then if that's it, and then most people have silenced by then, they're so tired of even hearing about it, and also so many new terror acts or mass shooting has happened, so it's long gone. If they keep pushing, saying, like with 9/11 or the Palmer assassination or some, the Kennedy assassination, keep pushing, saying, but come on, this is not the truth. You have not looked into this the way it should be looked into. In the end, I will elect a new commission and that commission would not look into the crime. It looked into the work of the first commission that looked into the investigation and not into the crime, dragging out another year and then a new report saying exactly the same. With the Palmer assassination, we had three different commissions, actually four, saying absolute zero. And that's the whole thing, is to understand that the investigation is part of the crime. The commission is part of the crime. You need to see what's going on and see how these templates are used.
Yeah.
That's when you can start seeing what is going on. And you can always see The reason for these things is that it would very shortly after they happen, you will hear the reporters saying, "Oh, it must be the truth seekers." It comes like this, no proof, no nothing, but it will just come, "Well, this group, the truth seekers," 5 minutes after it's happened.
Exactly.
Or you know, the 9/11, within an hour they were talking about bin Laden. How could they even know that that was supposed to happen? And bin Laden, they blamed it on these 19 hijackers,
yeah,
of which quite a few of them survived. I mean, they were so clumsy, they couldn't even kill the people and use their identity so that they wouldn't be found. No, they just took identities, you know, clumsy, clumsy, clumsy. Yeah. And then did they use hijackers from Afghanistan, the country that they wanted to invade? Not a single person was from Afghanistan. Yet that was the country they totally focused on, starting what they call the war on terror. Now you go explain, what does that mean, the war on terror? Who are you fighting? And
yeah,
it's the perfect war for them, because they can keep on fighting forever and ever and ever.
Exactly.
Because they're the ones creating the terror, so they can keep it going, and which they've done.
Which keeps the industrial complex fed with money and profit.
Yeah.
All right, Demogod, thank you. Now, we are looking for more information on this and other conspiracies. So we can go along to lightonconspiracies.com, which is your site, which contains an incredible amount of information and very, very useful links to a lot of other interviews. You're also looking for sponsorship, so there's an opportunity there on that page for people to give financially. And where would that be going, Ole?
The money?
Yes.
The one part of the money, like I say, I've spent 30 years of my life looking into this. Mm-hmm. I'm just an ordinary guy trying to feed my family. And it's very, very hard to do this type of research and also put myself on the line. This is
yes,
not without risk, I'm telling you. I'm at this point, I'm just part of, together with a professor called Jim Fetz in the States, to name two of the worst serial killers in modern history. Their names are Walter Tobinski and Clyde Forshaw. They're both residents of Toronto, and they have been used in the cleanup team since the late 1950s. It's incredible. They're
wow,
old guys now, but still very, very active.
Wow.
And they have taken out about 2,000 people, many of them cleaning up after many of these assassinations and terror acts and so on. You know, witnesses, police officers that have been sneaking, getting too close and so on. All of these suicides and so on. There are people committing them, and these two have been very central in these cleanup teams.
Yes.
So I'm just saying that to put information like that forward, and I've got a link on my website called Serial Killers, where there's about 60 hours of recorded phone calls with a very central witness that have given incredible evidence and details about these people, trying to stop them. Because this, I just want to say, I'm not here to spread fear. I'm not here to spread revenge or violence or anything like that. I'm here to expose it, to expose what's going on, and so we can stop this madness and heal this world with love. That's the thing. This universe is designed for absolute beauty, harmony between people, you know, brotherhood, sisters and brothers hugging, standing next to each other, helping each other. And instead, we're being pushed into this awful, awful situation by this very violent bully. And it's only by exposing them that we can make it stop, and also see that we have been part of it for such a long time. Without us, they can't do it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely
wakey,
vital.
Wakey, wakey, wakey. We are all responsible. We are all responsible. I just want to say, if I can, violence is not the way to go. Revenge is not the way to go. It's not revolution. Listen to the word revolution. You just repeat what has been going on. It's a matter of evolution. You need to raise your energy, raise the whole situation, what fill you, this might sound as a bit of new age crap to some people, but I tell you, this is the truth. If you, they control us by pushing us down with fear and terror. This is one of the major reasons they try to pump us up with all this info saying the world is an awful place. It's a scary place. It's a dark and violent place. It is not. Parts of it is. Parts of it is. A lot of it is just to push us down. And the reason why they want to push us down is because when we're low in energy, when we're depressed and anxious and worried and ego-centered, you know, oh, me, I'm afraid, I'm not like this, then they can control us.
Yeah.
But if we fill our hearts with gratitude, fit with compassion and love, and start looking around, start appreciating our family, friends, help each other, boost our energy, then I tell you, that is how you transcend this whole thing. When you pump up your own energy level, they can't reach you. It sounds like absolute nonsense. It is the truth. You will see miraculous things happen. Like, for instance, if you're in a situation where a police officer is bullying you, screaming at you, shouting at you, threatening you, if you go into the fear mode, you're playing his game. Yeah. If you, in this situation, what I try to do, I try to focus on what works for me is the word divine. If I look at this screaming face and just think divine, 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 you use whatever word you use, but mm-hmm. anything to keep you out of fear mode, mm-hmm. the situation will transform. It's incredible. I don't know how it happens, but 2 minutes down the line, you're sitting next to him having a beer, and he's talking about that he and his boy were out fishing the other day. And, you know, mm-hmm. instead of, if you buy into the fear, you're his. You have lost.
Yes.
It is.
It this is whole very much about that. That whole sort of emotional control. That's what it is. It's emotional control all the time.
Do you know in Russia during the whole terror, when Stalin was just terrorizing the whole country, the army was very small. But what they did was they hit people's home in the middle of the night to inflict fear. And in the dark, people couldn't see how few they were. So there were all these mass arrests in the night, 4 o'clock in the morning, knock, 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 intimidating people. Instead of, if people saw what was actually going on, they would said, oh, come on, you must be joking. Go home and you know, like, play with your kids. I'm not buying this crap. This is what's going on as well. They're trying to intimidate us, showing that, oh, we can control you. We can control you. But it's just like the Wizard of Oz. You know, you had this little girl with somebody looking for a heart, a lion looking for a heart, and whatever they were to. And what they found this castle where the massive, powerful elite was living. And they thought, oh my God, we're so fearful. But still, they had the guts to stand up and go in there. And there was this voice saying, I'm powerful, and you're weak, like this.
That's right.
But while they were listening to this voice, they saw somebody was behind the curtain. So they go over there and pull the curtain, and there's this tiny little old guy with a microphone and a massive amplifier. This is the elite in a pure exemplified. That is what's going on now. They're through media, that's the amplifier, and the microphone pumping us, saying, you are powerless. I would say, we are powerful. We have incredible power, especially when we unite. And there's no need for violence, because if you fight back with violence, you're in their game. And they have they will only use that as means to take you out. You rise up against us, we will protect the population from you. And they will just massacre you. Not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not the way to go.
So true. So true.
So see what's happening globally, where people are, when they're SWAT teams, they hold up mirrors towards the soldiers so they can see what they've turned into. You got whole battalions soon of clowns. I love it. They're recruiting clowns. And they what they do is they position them next to the SWAT teams, but with red noses and big, big red hair and everything.
Yeah,
and everything the SWAT teams do, the clowns do next to them. To defuse it, put in laughter there.
Right.
Start hugging them instead, you know.
Right.
Just like they did in the Iranian Revolution, put flowers down the gun barrels. Don't throw rocks at them. You're in their game then.
Exactly, and that's all they know how to respond to.
If you're violent, they know how to kick the shit out of you. Mm. They are good at that. That's what they're trained for. Transcend it. Fill your heart with love. Even though they point a gun at you, it's a state of mind. Unless he pulled the trigger, you're fine. If he pulls the trigger, you're in a bit of a trouble. State of mind, keep focusing. Love, 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 love. Divine, divine, divine. He's my brother. He's my brother. He's my brother. He's got a mother. He's got a sister. Do not fear him. Do not fear him. And it will transform. And I tell you that when you do things like that, look what happened at the Iranian Revolution. A whole people without guns managed to get rid of the fourth strongest army in the world.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? It's unreal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But this is the way to go. And they did it. They started with violence, did not work. They were killed in the thousands, but they just kept coming.
That's right.
And this is the whole thing. We are beyond the tipping point, in my opinion. We are beyond it. Mm. The movement is there. You have this awakening that's going on. And this is why the elite is, they don't know where to go soon because they feel, oh my God, they can see us. Suddenly the spotlight is on them.
That's right.
And that's where have I got a little more time?
Yes, please.
Okay, Alan. What I would like to say to the elite is, please, please, from the bottom of my heart, I ask you to realize the game is over. We see you behind the curtain. We see the microphone. We see the amplifier. We see how weak you are, how cowardly you've been behaving for decades. What you have done is something not to be proud of. It's an absolute disgrace. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help you become brave. Have the courage to stand up, take the responsibility for what you have been part of. Come forward, join us, say, if you feel ashamed of what you've been done, ask for forgiveness, say, this is what I've been part of, total transparency. I am deeply, deeply sorry for this. The more you sincerely come from that feeling, the easier the healing process will be. And we will welcome you. The ship is going down. I would just like to point out that on the 31st of March this year, just a few days ago, there was a people's court in Brussels that had subpoenaed the English Queen, Queen Elizabeth II of Windsor, and the former Pope. They were subpoenaed to court for child genocide. The same group of international lawyers, I'm very proud to be a friend of one of them, were part of the war tribune in Kuala Lumpur a few years ago, where they tried Tony Blair, George Bush Jr., or Boy George, Dick Cheney, and other people for crimes against humanity. They were all sentenced. None of them dared to appear in court, but the sentence is still valid. It was given to the court for war crimes in Hague or Hague. And it's the same with this. I bet you, Elizabeth, I just heard that, due to high age, she can't do travel anymore. I would say I can understand why she want to stay home and not go to Brussels at this time.
Yeah, very convenient.
Very convenient. I would also say that when these type of things happen, I'm sure most of you have not heard about this thing because media is trying to divert your attention elsewhere. And I was just waiting, how are they going to pull away the attention? I have not looked into this Malaysian airplane disappearing But I would say, without knowing anything about it, that would be a possible diversion. The whole world, look left. Thank you. Malaysian airplane, Malaysian airplane, Malaysian airplane. And this thing just goes under the radar.
That's exactly what I was saying, that it was very convenient that it came along just at the time when everybody should have been looking at Ukraine and Syria and everything that's still going on across the Middle East. And the entire media diversion has been to Malaysia. And I'm still suggesting that they should have looked at, or still look at, Diego Garcia for that.
Do you know the so-called beheading in Woolwich?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when that was?
Not really.
It was just a few days before the Bilderberg meeting in Watford.
Right.
Everybody was the Bilderberg meeting. It was the first time where they couldn't hide in the shades anymore, in the dark corridors of power, not being. So what they did when they couldn't hide anymore, they said, "Okay, fine, we're going to invite the media," and they made like a whole grassy plot where not that any members of the media could enter these high security building, this hotel there, no way. But so everybody was there. So the whole media, international media, was waking up to the fact that, oh my God, what's going on here? So they were on their way there, and boom, Woolwich beheading. Right. Suddenly the whole attention was, oh, the Muslims, they chopped off the head of a British soldier. Yes. My God. And he was even a drummer, and he was outside an army military
wearing
thing.
A Help for Heroes t-shirt.
Help for Heroes. He had like 250 army bodies in there. They did not come out, one single of them, for 25 minutes. The whole street was turned off in both ends. There was extras everywhere. No blood placed cars that couldn't, without skid marks. I mean, come on. It's so sloppily made. I would love to go into details about that one, because it's so badly done, and we are buying it totally. Wake up time, people. Wake up, so that we can stop this madness. Because it's only because we are sleeping. Every day we are asleep, people are being hurt globally. Mm. People are being killed in all of these beautiful countries that most people think, oh my God, it's the home of terrorists. Ooh, Iraq, Iran, Sudan, Syria, Libya, Lebanon. I've been to most of these places. I go in there, I think, oh my God, they're all crazy. Beautiful people.
Yes.
But in a big global game where they're being painted black so that we believe in the boogeyman. Oh, the boogeyman, the boogeyman,
exactly,
the boogeyman.
Exactly. I think what we need to do, actually, you're mentioning the Woolwich beheadings. I think I need to refresh myself on the details of that, do myself some more research, and then maybe dedicate an interview just to that one.
I would
incident.
Love it.
Yeah.
I would love it. It's one of my favourites. It really is.
Okay. I think that's something that we will try and get done in the next couple of weeks. Ole Demogod, thank you for your contribution. Once again, your website is lightonconspiracies.com, and I would encourage people to go along there and offer what they can in regards to sponsorship. Is there anything else you want to add, Ole?
There's one thing I want to add. I want to finish this with a prayer. I'm not a religious man, but I truly believe in, like Bob Dylan said, I'm a very simple man with a very simple wish. I just want to unite mankind. If I can be part of that, I'm so happy. But I want to finish with a prayer, and it goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light.
Ole Demogod, thank you for those excellent words. Take care, and we will speak again very soon.
Thank you so much, Alan.